Right. Okay, so the point is that this is the last year that we can squeeze out of Hilchos Brachos, pretty much. So we have to decide what to learn as the next topic. Does anyone have suggestions? Like, I was thinking, I suggested it earlier, of maybe switching the format of this year to be a Navi year, to do Navi. Again, it would be Navi my sort of way, which would be like kind of focusing on some halachic issues that come up in the Navi, as well as also teaching the text. This would be, there used to be a Rebbe in YU named Rabbi Parnas, who used to speak about Lalamed Amnas Lomod, that one of the reasons why you teach stuff is in order that you learn it yourself. So that was one option. There's other halachic topics out there, which I'd be happy to do. I've never done Hashavas Aveda with this group. I'd be interested in doing that. Anyone have suggestions what we should do?
I have previously made
some. Oh, yeah, you sent me a very long email I should look at again. Of like 48 suggestions or something, right?
No, I mean, most of them were just had to do with once again. There were a few different suggestions.
All right, so I should really look at your email again. Do you remember offhand what some of them were?
What is Torah?
Okay. That's nice.
Like, for example, specifically a question like, sometimes we say that you're not supposed to do something because people will think ill about
that. Okay, I mean, let me, that's not a bad, does it, anyone else have suggestions about what we can do, yeah?
Ahavas Yisrael.
Ahavas Yisrael, that's hard.
Especially in New York.
It's very hard. It's hard on many levels.
Lashon Hara?
Huh? Lashon Hara. No. Hey, for or against? We could do Lashon Hara. Hey, I just find like Lashon Hara is like a very frummy topic. I don't know. I remember the only time I ever learned Hilchos Lashon Hara, there was like a guy sitting next to me, and he's like, you know, the Chofetz Chaim is much too machmir. I thought that was cool. But
how about something to do with our involvement in the real world and having access to all sorts of media and how to
I mean, we could do that. I mean, maybe what we could do, I mean, that might require a little more preparation than I could do this time of year, especially Pesach is coming up soon. So I'm trying to think of a small topic that we could do in a few weeks, maybe. Okay, think about it. Email me during the week, please, and we'll try to come up with some ideas. Okay, so now, ladies and gentlemen, what we are doing tonight are, the topic is thunder, lightning, rainbows, oceans, hurricanes, brachos on natural phenomena. Not everything here is a natural phenomena. Some are phenomena, some are oceans. By the way, those who don't know what the word phenomena means should go back to college, or high school, or elementary school, as the case is. But basically, I remember Professor Will Lee in Yeshiva basically said that phenomena is just a thing with a PhD. That was his way of saying it, which is, I like that word. Okay, let's go. So we are going to be discussing brachos on natural things, and we'll make a few points as we go on. First, al hazikim. So zikim are kimin kochav hayorek echeitz ba'orech hashamayim mimakom lemakom v'nimshach oro kashevet. It is a shooting star. No? A star goes from one place. Now technically a shooting star is a meteorite, no? When a meteorite, when a meteor loses part of itself, so they end up going through the atmosphere at like millions of miles an hour or something, and they let off lots of light, because as they combine with the air, they burn. So that's a meteorite. So on a meteorite, you make a bracha. We'll see in a minute that the bracha is osamash sabreshus, right? There's another definition of zikim, which is that it's not a meteorite, but bezikim is a comet. No? comets are, most comets have a certain orbit, and they appear at intervals. Halley's, I remember as a kid, Halley's Comet was like very exciting when like he made his appearance. So Zikim might be comets, it might be meteorites. Many poskim say that there's a huge difference between the meteorite and the comet. You see, meteorites are always there all the time. If you, we happen to have a lot of light pollution. There's a lot of pollution in general, but there's a lot of light pollution. If you are up in an area where there isn't that much going on, you can see meteorites almost any night of the year. You just look up and you'll see them. So it's not such a unusual occurrence. A comet is much more unusual, no? So many poskim say, Rabbi Yaakov Emden is quoted as saying this, and others follow suit, that the brachos that we're discussing tonight are largely brachos on unusual things that a person is mispael from. A person is really moved. It gets to you. It makes you excited. If you see meteorites, right, that doesn't get you so excited because you see them every single day, no? They come up all the time. So therefore, Yaakov Emden thinks that you should not actually make a bracha on a meteorite, well, although Shulchan Aruch says that you do make a bracha on the meteorites. But this idea that we see something and it moves us, and that's what gets the bracha, I think that is a powerful idea that we'll see as we move through. Okay, next. Va'al re'adat ha'aretz. What's re'adat ha'aretz? Earthquakes. Okay, they quote in some Kabbalah Sfarim that when an earthquake happens, what you should do, now usually if you ask me as a rabbi or as a human being, when an earthquake happens, what you are supposed to do is what? Go to the door frame or the bathtub?
I mean, if you're dirty, but they're usually over by the time you get the water started.
Just go to a well-protected area. Oh, you're from Oakland. You know this stuff. Right? The World Series in what year? 1989, right? That was exciting.
Third game.
The first time you saw sportscasters actually know what they're doing in terms of, like, you know, real-world news. So an earthquake, if an earthquake comes, you also recite the bracha of Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. Some Kabbalah Sfarim are quoted as saying that when an earthquake comes, what you should do is not run to the doorframe to protect yourself. Rather, you should recite the following psukim, which will protect you. The pasuk in Yeshaya, Vayanu'u Amos Hasipim Mikol HaKorei V'Habayis Yimala Yashon, right? Yeshaya Hanofi, in this whole grand vision that he has, so Vayanu'u Amos Hasipim, that the beams of the buildings begin to shake, Mikol HaKorei, from the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? V'Karo Ze Ozeva Amar Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakos. So if an earthquake happens, what you should do is immediately say Kedusha. That's basically what it says in some Kabbalah Sfarim, and that, of course, will protect you from an earthquake. I have never tried it. Next time you're out in Oakland, okay, you can try it again. So on an earthquake, we also recite the bracha of Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis. Al HaBarakim. Barakim are lightning, va'ara emim, and on thunder, va'al ruchos shenashvu bezaf, and on winds that blow with anger, al kol echa me'elu, you say osamasa bereshis, and if you want, you could say shekochu gvereso malayolam. So there is choice in halacha. You have two options, right? You can make, on lightning, you can make osamasa bereshis, or shekochu gvereso malayolam. On a hurricane, you can make, right? Ruchos shenashu bezaf means powerful, powerful winds. You can make Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis or Shekocho Gvereso Malei Olam. Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis means that we see this and it reminds us that God created the world. Shekocho Gvereso Malei Olam means that God's presence fills the entire world. There are two similar ideas, but the basic notion, and this is something we were trying to speak about this past Shabbos, is that when you see impressive things, we are supposed to channel our focus to God. Right? A natural event, thunder, lightning, hurricanes, right, is supposed to focus us on God. Now, let's just talk about the hurricanes for a minute. Look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Dalet. Nashvu v'zaf, the winds are coming with anger, with force, V'av shalom b'zav, if it's a ruach gadol, you make osam asa bereshis, and you can't make shekochok v'raso, since it's shalom b'zav gadol. V'tov levar tamid, al ruach sa'ara she'ein metzuya, rak birchas osam asa bereshis, shebezeh b'vada yotza mimanoshach, ki ein anu b'ki'im b'kolkach mahu b'zav. The Mishnah basically says, we don't know exactly what's considered a really big angry wind. So therefore, you make an osam asa bereshis. Now, again, we don't want to go through hurricanes. We probably all remember Sandy, not so long ago. According to the Mishnah Berurah, you would make an osam asa bereshis, you would not make a shekochok v'rasa mali olam. I have to admit that during Hurricane Sandy, I made a shekochok v'rasa mali olam. I gathered my family together. We recited the bracha. My understanding is, and I saw later in the Pesachei Tshuvos that he quotes this from some Sfarim as well, that generally you have a big wind. You're not sure how big is a big wind. You know, the sukkah falls down. Okay, was that wind big enough? I don't know. Hurricane Sandy is big enough, right? What, you can tell me it has to be Category 6? Doesn't exist, right? The fact is, right, it's a big enough wind. Of course, you make the bracha, you make a shekochok v'rasa mali olam. Well, I also spoke about the Shabbos after the hurricane in Shul, which I think is a nice point. So I'll repeat it. It's like this. There are two words in Hebrew for strength. There is the word koach and the word gevura. Gevura is usually, or I'll say it like this, koach is physical brute strength. Koach is power. Gevura more often is used for restraint rather than pure strength. Yitzchak Avinu is known as the Midah of Gevura in the sense that Yitzchak didn't really do anything in Chumash. He digs the same pits that his father dug, right? Yitzchak is the embodiment of restraint. He is the one who is ne'ekad al gabei hamizbeach, right? He's not doing it. He is being done to him, right? Gevura means restraint. So koach is physical strength. Gevura is restraint. Rabbi Lord, His Eminence, whatever the term is, Jonathan Sacks, on one of his tapes basically says that koach is power that makes war. Gevura is the strength that it takes to make peace. That's his take, which I think is absolutely accurate. But that also sheds light on this bracha. In other words, Hurricane Sandy is coming. The winds are shaking the building. It is scary when the winds are really coming. So we reflect on koach, the power of Hashem. But at the same time that we reflect on the power of Hashem, we also have to remember that there's an element of gevura, which is that Hashem is holding back. Right? As bad as things are, and people suffered terribly. People suffered terribly. Out near where my parents live, there are still homes that are not what they used to be. But at the same time, right, our attitude should be a focus on koach and on gevura. Yeah, it was really bad. But, you know, thank God we have our lives. Thank God we were not as hurt as badly as we could have been from a storm of this magnitude. At the same time that there's koach, we have to focus on gevura. And I think that, in part, is the message of this bracha. At least for me, I thought that that's the real understanding of shekocho ugvaraso male olam. Fine. But the idea over here is that we have a choice. We can make osam asa bereshis or shekocho ugvaraso male olam on thunder or on lightning, on big winds, on hurricanes, on earthquakes, etc. That's the idea. Now, let's talk about thunder and lightning. This is the bracha that I think, this is the one in this, I think we see lightning more often than we see meteorites, or more often than we get earthquakes in this neighborhood. So let's discuss that. Mishnah Berurah writes that Barakim is blitzen balaz, no? Blitz. Right? Lightning is Barakim. V'osan shehim ba'im below ram klal, rak machmas chom, mitzadet hachayo odom she'in ze Barakim hanizkar b'gamar ve'im avarchan alayhem. Says the Mishnah Berurah that the only type of lightning is basically lightning, the only type of lightning that mandates a bracha is the lightning during a rainstorm. What we would call heat lightning, no? In the summer, sometimes you have that. So, that lightning does not get a bracha. That's the Mishnah Berurah's psak. Now, why that would be, I have no idea. I really don't know, unless the idea is that the lightning is supposed to be connected to the thunder to make a bracha. And if the lightning is supposed to be connected to the thunder, so heat lightning isn't connected to thunder. That, I think, is the understanding. That's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, according to Chai Adam. They quote, there's a new Mishnah Berurah that came out from the Dirshut Institute that has like psakim on the side of different gedolim. Actually, it's a good price. At the YU's pharmacy, it's $9 a volume, if you're interested. Not that I noticed or anything, you know, but it's $9 a volume. So Chazon Ish is quoted in that Dirshut Mishnah Berurah. The Chazon Ish says that he thinks that even heat lightning makes a bracha, which means that you can get a bracha for lightning that's unconnected to thunder. David.
Maybe I'm just ignorant, but when you see lightning, how can you tell whether it's connected with thunder?
So, if I see that the sky is dark and it's raining, and it looks like what we call a thunderstorm, because we've experienced this our whole time, so then I assume that the lightning is going to lead to thunder. But if it's a very nice, hot summer day, right, and you just see lightning, right, that might not be connected to thunder. So in that case, so many poskim recommend, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach recommends, so what you should do is do not make a bracha off the first lightning, because maybe it's unconnected to thunder, it's not really halachic type of lightning that can make a bracha, right, and that's what he assumes. Yeah, but yeah.
Possibly because heat lightning is usually behind clouds and you don't see the zigzag.
Okay, so let's talk about seeing the zigzag. All the poskim say that you do not have to see the zigzag to make the bracha. All you have to do is see light. I also heard you have to see the zigzag. I don't know of any source for it. I don't know any poskim who says it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva in Chelek Beis of Mincha Shlomo. He says, clearly you don't have to see the zigzag, you don't have to see the bolt, or even if you just see the light. So I don't know. I really do not know. Okay, so lightning, we know what lightning is. Now.
Question.
What?
What if you don't see it directly? The room lights up, but
Reb Shlomo Zalman contends that that's good enough.
Wow. But
I have the shades down, and wow, right? Suddenly, so that's good enough, and then you make a bracha. Now, which bracha do you make? So the Mishnah Berurah, so Shulchan Aruch says you have a choice, no? You have a choice. The Mishnah Berurah notes that the minhag is, ha'olam nohagin levarech al habrachim osim asa breishis, or ha'im shekochog v'raso. The practice is that on lightning we say osim asa breishis, and on thunder we say kochog v'raso, and that makes a little bit of sense because we feel the force of the thunder more. You see the gevurah of Hashem even more. But right, but you can make both brachos on both of them. Therefore, if you hear them together, you only make one bracha. You make osam asa bereshis on both of them. In other words, if the thunder and lightning come together, you only make one bracha. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Right, it's preferred to make osam asa bereshis in that case. But if you make shekochog v'raso, that also works. If it's not immediately one after the other, so first you make the bracha on the lightning, because lightning comes before thunder, then you make the bracha on thunder, you make shekochog v'raso. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So basically, the Mishnah Berurah notes that if I see lightning and thunder together, which basically means that the lightning is very close. Isn't that what they teach you in camp, that you count, right? That's a little camp trick. You count to find out how close the lightning is. If it happens one really together, so one bracha is made for both. The Aruch HaShulchan adds, if you'll just skip like two or three sources, it's in the fourth line of the Aruch HaShulchan, excuse me. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan notes that people make on the lightning and osam asbereshis and on the thunder shekochog v'raso. So that means if you see them together, some people recite both brachos. Lefi anias daiti, bracha shniya is a bracha levatala. If they come together, you only recite one bracha. Technically, either bracha can be made. The Mishnah Berurah assumes it's preferred to make osam asa bereshis because osam asa bereshis is more of a general bracha than shekochog v'raso. That is the basic story according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan. Very nice. Now, the Mishnah Berurah notes that if I first see lightning, I make my Osim Asa Brachos, then when the thunder comes, I make a Shekochah Gvrasa Malei Olam. That's the practice. No? What happens if in middle of my light, if middle of my bracha on the lightning, then the thunder comes? Does the bracha that I began on the lightning, does that bracha then, can I in middle say, oh, thunder, and have in mind that the bracha should also go on thunder? Remember, if they both happen together and make one bracha right after, one bracha is enough. Let's say I'm in the middle of the bracha on lightning already when the thunder comes. Can that bracha still work for the thunder as well as it works for the lightning? So, somebody who was connected to the show bought me a gift. He bought me a tshuva sefer called Meir HaHalacha. It's written by the Belzer Dayan. Didn't know the sefer existed. I was sitting on my shelf today as I'm preparing the shiur. I'm like thinking, you know what? Maybe the sefer, I've never looked in it, maybe it has something. He has a tshuva about this topic. Who would have guessed? Right? Like, why on earth, like, someone would ask Shaila why he decided to write, like, 10 pages on it? I don't know. But that's what he did. So he has a very interesting pilpul, a very interesting discussion about in what situations we apply the rules of Toch Kedei Dibur, Kedibur Dami. Right? Toch Kedei Dibur is basically a halachic principle that within a small amount of time, so it's considered Kedibur Dami, right? The time is not exact. You have within the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Omori or Shalom Alecha Rebbe, that time extends and it works. That's Toch Kedei Dibur. So I can make a bracha within Toch Kedei Dibur, and that bracha works on whatever happened beforehand, no? That's a principle. Now, Toch Kedei Dibur isn't a principle only by brachos, no? The Gemara in the Durm speaks about, like, an unfortunate case. Right? Let's say somebody's relative is sick on the deathbed, and the person thinks the relative died, so the person tears kriya, they rip the garments, no? Then, kim tzigein, the person wakes up, hi Jack, I'm here, whatever, then the person dies. Right? Like they literally in the movies have them like kicking the bucket. No, so then the person like expires. So the question is, was I yotze? Did I fulfill the mitzvah of kriya or not? Did I fulfill the mitzvah of rending my garments? So if the person dies within Toch Kedei Dibur of rending your garments, it works. If not, not. Now in that situation, there's no bracha that's recited. No, it happens that we recite a bracha of Dayan HaEmes when we rend our garments at a funeral, but technically the Dayan HaEmes is unconnected to the Kriya. That's right. That's a general assumption. So there's no speech that's going on. I'm not saying anything, but still the rule of Toch Kedei Dibur applies. Toch Kedei Dibur seems to extend halachic time. That's what I see from that Gemara. So the question in this case is, if it's all happening within the same time, so can I say that even though I began the bracha, I can now switch that bracha in middle to refer to something else? So this fellow goes into a whole discussion. The Gemara in Brachos has a discussion of Pasach, B'dechamra, V'siyim, B'deshichra, no? Let's say a person picks up a cup of what he thinks is wine, and it turns out that it's beer. If I make a borei pri hagafen on beer, I'm not yotze, no? Because beer has nothing to do with barley, right? Beer has nothing to do with grapes. Thank you. Beer has nothing to do with too much beer. Beer has nothing to do with grapes. So the fact is, if I make a borei pri hagafen on beer, I'm not yotze. So let's say I pick up a cup thinking it's wine, thinking I'm going to make a borei pri hagafen, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu, melech haolam, and then I say, oh gosh, it's really beer, right? Then I finish off Shahakon Yabidvaro. So am I yotze or not? It's a suffix in the Gemara, it's a suffix in Shulchan Aruch, how we pass in Machlokes, how we show them exactly at what point in the bracha you remembered. So he connects all these ideas to this discussion of thunder and lightning. Now, it happens that this comes up in another case also in the thunder and lightning sugya as follows. Se'if Gimon Shulchan Aruch, right at the top of the page. Haya Yoshe Beves HaKisei V'shama Kore Eim O Ra'a Barak. No? Let's say someone is sitting in the restroom and they hear thunder, they see lightning. So if you could get out toch kedei dibur, you should leave. Yetze. Ve'im lav lo yetze. I never understood this case exactly, but okay, that's basically the case. If you can get out of the restroom, you leave. If you can get out within toch kedei dibur, you leave and you make the bracha. If not, not. That's what it says. Now, the simple reading of Shulchan Aruch is that you can only make the bracha on lightning if it's within toch kedei dibur. No? Within this 3 or 4 second time frame. That is the way most poskim say. However, Taz died in 1676. He was born in 1586, no? Taz is a rabbi in Krakow. Later on in his life, his father-in-law was the Bach. The Bach was not happy that his son-in-law, the Taz, had a very small position in a very small community and wasn't earning much money, and kept offering him jobs, like take a larger community. The Taz didn't want to take a larger community. He felt it would take away from his learning. So he remained in these like stink towns, in these tiny little communities. Then when the Bach died, so they persuaded the Taz to take over the rabbinate in Krakow, and that's when the Taz moved to Krakow. So that's the Taz. So the Taz is like one of the major commentaries on Shulchan Aruch. It happens that Rav Soloveitchik did not like teaching Taz for some reason. He felt that the Shach is a much better commentator, the Magen Avraham is a much better commentator. The Rav didn't teach Taz that often, but the Taz sometimes has interesting points. So over here, the Taz writes, first of all, it's toch kedei dibur yetze. If you could get out of the bathroom within toch kedei dibur, you should leave, right? De'ein shayich lama yatza b'kamatz. You certainly, we're not going to talk about that. You fulfill the mitzvah because you're pater, because you can't make the brech when you're in the bathroom, etc. Let's go to the third line in the Taz. V'nirali, de'ein hashir shoha brecha toch kedei dibur v'achashir zeh lo yivarech. De'im kein hayalahem lomar shi'ur zeh al ikar hadin. The Shir HaBracha b'zeh have a toch kedei dibur. Ala devade achashir toch kedei dibur gam kein tzerech levar kosha efshalo. In other words, the Taz has a chiddush. The Taz says that you can make the bracha on thunder and lightning even after toch kedei dibur. Even after 4 seconds have elapsed since the thunder and lightning came, you can make the bracha. Aye, how come it says in Shulchan Aruch about getting out of the bathroom within toch kedei dibur? So the Taz says, oh, that's a special halacha. If I'm in the bathroom, so sure, if I could leave right away, I'm obligated to do so. I should do so. If I can't, I don't. Right? But that's not, right? If it's in a normal situation when I'm not in the bathroom, then I can make the brach even after toch kedei dibur. That's the Taz's understanding. Now, most poskim do not follow the Taz. Most poskim don't follow the Taz. I noticed a few minutes ago that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, this is the book Halichos Shlomo, which is like after Shlomo Zalman passed away, so his students wrote some of his Piskei Halacha. Every note basically says Kisvei HaTalmidim or Tshuva Miksaviyad, so a lot of these things are just not written, not published, I should say. But Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach felt that you're allowed to make the bracha even after Toch Kedei Dibur. Right? Everyone doesn't follow the Taz. So he says, first of all, he thinks that the Taz is correct. Right? That's the way it's written here in note 103. That the Taz is correct, and we pass on like the Taz against the other Svarim. Moreover, in the later Svarim, they say an idea that maybe, if it's Asukim but also Inyan, I can certainly make the Bracha. What that means is like this. If there's lightning, and I'm not sure if that lightning is heat lightning or that lightning is normal lightning. So how do I find out what type of lightning it is? I wait for the thunder. So if I'm thinking the whole time about the lightning, is it good lightning or not good lightning, even if it's more than 4 seconds that elapse, but that shows that my mind was on the lightning the whole time, then certainly I can make the bracha even after toch kedei dibur. So effectively, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is saying two different things. He's saying, first of all, fundamentally, I hold the Taz is right. You can make the bracha after toch kedei dibur. But even if the Taz is wrong, so long as my focus is on the lightning, right, and I'm just waiting a certain amount of time in order to ascertain that this is genuine halachic lightning, they can make a bracha, so that will work. That will work even after Tol Kedei Dibur. Yeah, David, and then Kira. Yeah. If the Taz is wrong, so then usually I shouldn't make the bracha more than Tol Kedei Dibur afterwards. But in a situation that I'm just waiting to ascertain that this was genuine halachic lightning, so then I can make the bracha even later on. That's what he's saying.
That's his chiddush, or he's proving that from some other case that we already know?
That's his chiddush. That's his chiddush based on the idea of Asukim, also Inyan, that I'm focused on the idea of the lightning the whole time. Yeah, Kira? So if I'm waiting to hear the thunder, so then effectively, that's a very good point. So I'm combining the lightning and thunder, then I should really only make one bracha. I should make an awesome Aser Brachos on both, right? That's what should emerge based on what we said before, right? That's a good point. I mean, the funny thing at this stage in my life, whenever there's like a thunderstorm, so I have a hard time making brachos because first I have to deal with all my crying kids who get scared of the thunder. I don't know why. How come kids are so scared of thunder?
It's loud and
what?
Sudden.
I find it interesting. But okay, that's the story of my life. Okay, now, it happens that the, let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch and just make one more point. Most brachos that we've been talking about, brachos on seeing stuff, seeing my friend, seeing a king, etc., that we spoke about last week or 2 weeks ago, those brachos are only recited if it's been 30 days. Since the last seeing, right? If there's thunderstorms more closer than 30 days, do I make the bracha? So the answer is yes. The answer is Kol Zman Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Beis Kol Zman Shalom Nispazru Ha'ibim Nifta B'Brachacha. So long as the clouds have not dissipated, so one bracha works. Nispazru, but once the clouds dissipate, Nispazru Bein Barak LaBarak Mereim La'em Tzarech La'ach Zol Avarech. If the clouds dissipate, you have to make a new bracha. Now, many poskim say that clouds dissipate means it gets clear. It clears up. But if it's the same storm, so then you do not... If it's the same storm, the clouds never clear, so then one bracha works. So there's a whole lengthy literature, which I found very, very hard to believe, about, well, let's say it clears up, but the weather forecasts say that the storm is going to continue. So is that considered halachically the same storm or a different storm? So, I mean, it seems pretty clear in Shulchan Aruch if it clears up, so you make a new bracha after. But then some people are saying, well, no, if the weather forecast is saying it's the same storm, I don't know if it, like, you know, weather forecasts are a very modern innovation. I can't imagine that it would impact on this halacha, but there is a literature in that book, the Pesachei Tshuvos, about this point, but it would seem to me that if it clears up, it comes really clear. If the clouds just, if the clouds are still noticeable in the area, but so then I do not make a new bracha on the thunder after. But if the clouds are not noticeable, then I do make a new bracha. David? It's hard to see two different storm systems.
When I was traveling in the southwest, the sky was basically clear, but there was this little dark cloud, and when we drove under it, it rained torrentially, and there was lightning. I don't remember if there was thunder, there probably was, but there was definitely lightning. Now, in theory, there could have been two little clouds like that in the sky.
Right.
I'm
not a meteorologist, but I imagine that two clouds in the sky are probably part of the same storm system.
I don't know exactly how it works, because it's basically a clear sky.
Right. So the Achronim is saying that in these cases, that's not called a clear sky. If the clouds are noticeable, that's not called the sky cleared. It's called the sky cleared only if or the everything has moved out. Okay, yeah.
Does it matter whether it's the same halachic day or not? There was storm in the morning.
So if it's the same, if the storm goes on, let's say, like in biblical times, there's once a storm that lasted like 40 days and 40 nights. It kept on going, right? So it's all the same storm, so you'd only make one bracha the whole time, no? But if the storm, that's what most Achronim say. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in this sefer that if it's the same storm, but you decide to go to sleep during the storm, and then you wake up, so then you get a new bracha after you wake up. But Shulchan Aruch, so he says, what's the idea of the Shulchan Aruch that Nispazru Ha'ibim? That has to be that the clouds separate. He says that's because that there's a new hispalos, like we spoke about beforehand, that you feel moved by a new storm. So if you go to sleep and then you wake up, even though it's the same storm, but you're still moved by it again when you wake up. Oh gosh, it's still raining, and you're like, you slam your fist or something. So because you're moved by the storm again, so therefore it gets a new bracha. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying in this book. I found that to be interesting. And he says, yeah, this is note 40 on page 287. If you wake up from your sleep, you can make a new bracha, and he compares it to Birchas HaTorah.
So it's a halachic sleep of 60 breaths.
Apparently.
A real sleep.
I mean, again, a lot of this seems, I mean, pardon the expression, to be like made up, but we're trying to figure out these halachos. People make brachos on thunder and lightning.
Yeah, last week on Thursday night.
Yeah, that was weird. That was like snow with thunder.
Yeah.
I don't remember that happening in a while.
And very close lightning as well.
Fine. Now, let's move on to the next topic, which is brachos on oceans. How do we call it? We did thunder and lightning. We have to talk about oceans, hurricane. We did hurricanes. Talk about oceans. Maybe we'll talk about rainbows also. Okay, let's go quickly. Yamim u'naharos. You see it in Shulchan Aruch. It's the third source on the second side of the page. Yamim are seas. Naharos are rivers. Harim u'gevaos. Those are mountains or plateaus. U'midbaros or deserts. You say osem ma'aseh bereishis. Basically, when you see these things, you are seeing something that was made by Hashem at Sheshes Yimei Bereishis and hasn't changed since then. So that's worth an Osem Ma'aseh Bereishis. Unlike the Osem Ma'aseh Bereishis on lightning, let's say, where I'm saying Osem Ma'aseh Bereishis in the sense of, oh, God is very powerful, I'm praising Hashem because I see the lightning in that, right? The Osem Ma'aseh Bereishis on seeing mountains is because those mountains are the mountains that were created by Hashem at Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hence, if you are near the Arthur Kill, right? You can't make brachos near the Arthur Kill anyway, but if you are, you know what I'm talking about? No idea. The largest garbage dump in New York City is like this giant mountain called the Arthur Kill near Staten Island. It's like the worst part of the city. Right? So you probably can't make brachos near there anyway, but that is a man-made mountain. A man-made mountain doesn't get a bracha.
What if it's not man-made, but it was made by a volcano?
Okay, so let's talk about that. Seas. On yamim, on seas you make an osem ma'aseh bereishis, right? And then we'll talk about the Yam HaGadol, right? The Mechaber says the Yam HaGadol is the Mediterranean. You make a different bracha of osem as HaYam HaGadol. Right, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Beautiful. Now, the Achronim discuss, do I make a bracha on the Dead Sea, on the Yam HaMelach?
Because it doesn't
so, there is a Rashi on Chumash. So there are two reasons not to make a bracha. One reason not to make a bracha is Rav Wozner writes in his Tshuvos that we only make brachas on stuff that are a bracha, but something that's a klala you don't make a bracha on. And the Yam HaMelach represents a klala, because I see it, I remember that Hashem turned over the cities of Sodom and Amorah, and it's a klala, and everything is dead near there, so there's no bracha, it's a klala area. So bracha and klala aren't compatible. That's what Rav Wozner says. But Rav Shlomo's... What? Yeah, so that's the problem, right? Hurricanes, a lot of these natural things are forces that are very destructive. Earthquake. Right? Earthquakes are destructive. I don't fully understand that svara, but that's what he has in his Truvas. I was bothered by that question myself. Yes.
Isn't there also a bracha when we see Lot's wife in the pillar of salt?
Yeah, there's a special bracha you see. I don't fully understand that svara. But there's another reason why Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says not to make a bracha on the Yam HaMelech, and that's because if you remember in Parashas Lech Lecha, the pasuk says that war was invented. No. Many Mefarshim understand the pasuk that way, that there's the four kings against the five kings, asu milchama. They made war. That means they created a new concept called war. You know, they should zeigebench, like they should have, you know, hard butter and soft bread, right? You know, that's like asu milchama. They invented war. Now, where did that war take place? So the pasuk says, ko eile chaveru el emek hasidim hu yam hamelach. They gathered by Emek Hasidim. Emek Hasidim is the valley of, so Machlokas among the Mefarshim doesn't mean the valley of limestone, like Sid, even though it's spelled in the Torah with a sin, but you could read a sin like it's interchangeable with a samach, it's like limestone, or Emek Hasidim, Sidim might be like an expression of sados, of fields, a valley with lots of fields, even though the plural is usually sados, not sidim, but maybe it's like an earlier form of Hebrew, and sidim is the plural of sad, sadeh, I don't know exactly, of another field form. Okay, so what does it mean, this valley, hu yam hemelach? So Rashi writes on Chumash. It's not like an obscure source, it's Rashi. Bereshis yud dalid gimel. Zakt Rashi, emek hasidim hu yam hemelach, means that afterwards, this emek hasidim became yam hemelach. In other words, all of the rivers in the area filled that area up, and it became Yam HaMelech. It wasn't Yam HaMelech at this time. Right? The battlefield, it's like you could go to the Gettysburg battlefield, you know, the battlefield is in Yam HaMelech. That's a battlefield, but became Yam HaMelech after. That's what Rashi says on Chumash. If that's the case, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I can't make an Osa Masa Bereshis on Yam HaMelech, because it wasn't there at Maisa Bereshis, even though it's not man-made, no? The way Rashi sounds like over there, it's just that the rivers all accumulated in that area, and it happened naturally that became Yam HaMelech. There's like some shift of the plates, I don't know. But then it became Yam HaMelech. Still, there's no bracha on the Yam HaMelech. That's the story there. Now, most poskim assume that these brachos on the mountains, on the rivers, and the rivers also have to be, that's a natural river, that the river hasn't been changed. Therefore, many poskim say that we no longer recite the brachos on rivers, because it's very rare that you have a river whose flow is original from Maisa Bereshis times. Rivers have all, the Tigris, the Euphrates, I think it doesn't exist anymore. I think near Baghdad, right? It's supposed to, that's the area where the Tigris is supposed to meet the Euphrates. I think it doesn't exist. The rivers have been diverted so much. You can't say Osa Masa Bereshis. You can't do it because it's been diverted. Rivers have changed all the time. But it has to be B'makom Shelo Nishtana. Right? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You don't make the bracha on the rivers. You only make it on the four rivers that it says in the pasuk Chideko Paras, etc. V'hu sharasam b'makom shelo nishtana malacham ayidei adam. It has to be in the place that you see them, that they're flowing in their natural way, and the flow has not been changed by people. One second. So that's the bracha that we say on rivers. In fact, the Chaya Adam doesn't quote the bracha on rivers at all, no? Because it just wasn't recited. We don't recite the bracha on rivers. We don't recite the bracha on rivers because most of our rivers are not subject to Osa Masa Bereshis. Now, the Achronim also say that it has to be that you're nispa'el, that you're really moved by seeing these rivers or these mountains. It has to be something that's imposing, that you say, wow, that's something. If that's the case, so Achronim say a few points. One point is that if I only see part of the ocean, part of the river, part of the mountain, I don't see the full majesty of it, I don't make a bracha. I have to be standing in a place I see the complete majesty of it, only then do you make the bracha. That's point one. Achron discuss if I see it at night. So, it depends. If I could really see it and I get a sense of how imposing and impressive it is, so then I make a bracha. If not, I don't make a bracha. Similarly, if I live right nearby, even if I don't see it all the time, I still don't make a bracha because I'm not nispael from it. It's a part of my natural life. The Achronim say similar ideas. Someone who lives in, technically, if I see the Makom HaMikdash, I'm supposed to tear Kriya, no? We tear Kriya when we go to the Kotel. If I live in Yerushalayim, the Minhag is I don't tear Kriya. Even if I live in Bayit Vegan or in Har Nof, the Minhag is that the residents of Yerushalayim don't tear any Kriya. Yeah. What? Even if they haven't seen it in 30 days, they don't tear Kriya. Why not? Because since they could go all the time, and they just decide not to, they're not Nispa'el. Someone once asked Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, should he tear Kriya? Right? He lives in Yerushalayim, he doesn't go to the Kotel all the time. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman was joking around with him, and he said, oh, you should tear Kriya for not wanting to go to the Kotel within every 30 days. That was his take on the situation. But the fact is that residents of Yerushalayim don't tear Kriya because it's part of their regular life. There's a bracha in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Resh Kaf Daled that no one makes anymore. If I see Avodah Zarah, there's a bracha that we recite, you know? If I see Avodah Zarah every 30 days, I should make a bracha. Shenosan erech apayim lo'over ritzono, that Hashem has a lot of patience for those who violate what He does. We don't make these brachos anymore. Why not? Because we live and we see Avodah Zarah every single day. We're used to it, right? Walk down 187th Street, you see Avodah Zarah, right? I'm not only talking about the church. I've seen guys in my neighborhood slaughtering chickens to some statue on the windowsill. Yeah, on Audubon and 184th. There's some lunatic. I don't know, maybe this guy's also listening to my show. I have to be careful.
behind
Musk. Okay.
I've heard the birds screaming.
It's very. There's a lot of Avodah Zarah. Right? Now, should I make a bracha shenas and erech apayim over its own? The answer is that no, we become inured to it over time. We get used to it. Right? In other words, the brachos are recited on a sense of hispalos, on a sense of being moved. If I'm not moved by it, there's no bracha. Yeah?
So if you were to go to India and you were to see, you know, hundreds of thousands of people get into the Ganges or something.
So if I see a brand, so that I can discuss, let's say I see a brand new Avodah Zarah that I've never seen before, what?
Not looking for it, of course.
Not looking for it, of course, right? Be'o Yerabba Kosav. Old Mosachadati. The Mishnah Brura in Reish Chaf Dalet Sivkot and Gimel comes to the O Yerabba, bigger Chiddush. Da'afilu Hula Ra'osa, Tochla, Mekeven Sheyish Rov Ha'olam, Shushokhi Bina Yisharon Osa. Right? Here. What is it? I feel holy for Ira Cheres, Rosh Avodah Zarah, Eino Mavarich. I feel Katan Shehigda in Tzarech Levarich. You get an impression that we don't make the bracha at all, because just Avodah Zarah in general is so common for us, we don't make this bracha.
And we see that it was uprooted from a place?
That bracha, we do recite, I think. That bracha, that's in Reish Chaf Daled Sif Beis, that bracha we do recite. Fine. So now, the basic idea is that we only recite the bracha when we are somewhat moved. Okay. Yeah.
So if you're driving along the turnpike and getting past Harrisburg and you find yourself in the mountains gradually, like when
Yeah, so this is the question. What type of mountain is considered an impressive mountain to make a bracha on? Right? The poskim speak about big mountains. Right? What about an ordinary mountain? No one knows exactly the measurement of how large these mountains are, but if something is considered to be I don't know if the Catskills are considered a large mountain by any stretch.
Not if you're from out west.
Right, but if you go out west and you see the Rockies, you make a bracha. When I flew to Phoenix, I made a bracha out the airplane window. I didn't go out the airplane window. Yeah, you have to clarify. Okay, now, the fact is that we have these brachos every side. Let's just talk about the brachos on the oceans for a minute. So Shulchan Aruch says that on the Yam HaGadol, which according to Shulchan Aruch is the Mediterranean, you make Baruch Oseh Yam HaGadol. The Mishnah Brura quotes in Sifkatan Beis that many Achronim say that the Yam HaGadol is the Atlantic, is the Ukianos. It's not the Mediterranean. Because it's called Yam HaGadol, because it's the biggest of the oceans. And that's why it gets its own bracha. And the Mishnah Brura seems to conclude that way. So Yam HaGadol, the Mishnah Brura assumes, would be the Atlantic, not the Mediterranean. The Chaya Adam only quotes the bracha of Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. He never quotes the bracha of Oseh Yam HaGadol. Right? The reason why he doesn't quote it is probably because he's uncertain as to whether the Yam HaGadol is the Mediterranean or the Atlantic. So therefore, you make an Oseh Maaseh Bereishis, which all the Achronim, I give you a Bir Halachi at the bottom of the page, all the Achronim assume that Oseh Maaseh Bereishis certainly works. Now, some people try to fulfill both, and they only make the bracha at Gibraltar. Right? This is... right? This is the story, because you can make the bracha at Gibraltar, and you're seeing both the Atlantic and the Mediterranean. Now, that might not help, according to what we said before. How did I get to Gibraltar? I'm flying. Now, there's no longer hispalos by seeing big stretches of water, because I've been flying over big stretches of water for the last 8 hours. Right? So I'm not so impressed by, right, when I get to Gibraltar. So it could be that you don't make a bracha. Rabbi Sabalovsky once told me that they say that Reb Aaron Leib Steinman, he's like one of the head honchos today. So Reb Aaron Leib Steinman apparently was one time on the flight, and he's like learning on the airplane, and somebody says, oh, look down, you know, you could see Gibraltar, make Oseh Yam HaGadol, and get both the Mediterranean and the Atlantic. It's like amazing. So Reb Aaron Leib like looks up and he says, I'm in the middle of a Tisus. Why are you telling me to like look at this stupid rock or something? That was, okay, but that's Reb Aaron Leib Steinman. But the fact is, so one option to be Yotzei both would be Gibraltar, though it's not so practical like we mentioned before. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has the following idea, which is interesting halachically. He thinks that what you should do is you should make a bracha, Oseh Maaseh Bereishis, and then right after you finish the bracha, She'asos Yam HaGadol. Let's try to combine them together. Now, is that a proper... What? No, you say Hashem's name. Baruch Hashem, Oseh Maaseh Bereishis, She'asos Yam HaGadol. You're like, lead one right into the other. So I finished the bracha Oseh Maaseh Bereishis, and I say a few extra words, She'asos Yam HaGadol. Maybe it's all part of the same bracha. I put them together. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman suggests. In Rotsa Lotsa's Kol Adeos, Yosef Miyad B'Siyam HaBracha She'asos Yam HaGadol. So this is somewhat questionable if this works. Can you just like add extra stuff to the bracha and be Yotzei? There's a discussion. Let's say I'm uncertain if I have to bench Gomel. I'm uncertain if I bench Gomel. So the text that we have for Gomel is Gomel Chayavim Tovos Shegemalani Tov or Shegemalani Kol Tov. That's our text, right? Some Rishonim, the Rif and the Rama, have the bracha Gomel Chasadim Tovim La'amo Yisrael, which is what we recite every morning at the beginning of Shacharis. So some poskim say, oh, maybe what you should do is say Gomel Chasadim Tovim La'amo Yisrael Shegemalani Kol Tov, like throw them together, right? And like we do similar things, but like Al Hamichya, no? Al Hamichya Val Kokol, like throw them all in. So some poskim suggest that Reb Shlomo Zalman obviously felt that that's an acceptable solution. However, I don't know. I would only make an osam asa bereshis. I think to recite the bracha shasas yam hagadol, we're not sure which one. Make an osam asa bereshis. You certainly yotze. That's what I would do. Again, for us though, living around here, we could go and see some of the Atlantic Ocean very easily, can't we? It's not such a long drive. So the same svara that we said before about the residents of Yerushalayim and Tehran Kriya would apply to seeing the Atlantic Ocean. Unless you assume that the bracha on seeing it is only when you see it in its full expanse, and just going to Atlantic Beach doesn't really do the trick. You don't really see the full expanse. I'm not sure. I think it is part of the same ocean. I don't know. I'd be inclined that residents of this area should not recite the bracha on the Atlantic Ocean because it's always accessible to us.
Only the Atlantic Ocean? Like, does it matter whether it's the Pacific Ocean?
So the Pacific Ocean is a different ocean. If I see it, I would make a bracha of Osam Asa Bereshis on the Pacific.
It's all connected.
So they are all connected, correct. We call it two different oceans, and in common perception, this is like what we spoke about last week, that brachos might be recited on the way people perceive things. Someone I perceive to be a Talmud Chacham gets that bracha. Something I perceive to be a different ocean, perhaps gets a separate bracha as well. I'm not sure that's correct, I'm just suggesting it. So these are some of the brachos that we... These are some of the brachos that we recite. By the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch Sif Gimel that we don't make the bracha on any mountain, only on the Harim Gevaos Hamishunim V'Nikeres Gevuras HaBoreh, only on those giant mountains that you see the strength of Hashem.
What about a volcano?
So a volcano. Well, you could probably make an Osam Asa Bereshis if you see an active volcano. Rabbi Nachum Rabinowitz, the Rashi Malay Aduma, has a tshuva about this. Oh, let's talk about rainbows for a second. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that if I see a rainbow, I forgot to print it out, you make a bracha, Zocher Habris Neman Bivriso V'Kayam B'Mamaro. Right? That's a bracha that you would say on a rainbow. So Nachum Rabinowitz was once asked, do you make the bracha on a rainbow when you go to Niagara Falls? Because at Niagara Falls, there's always some sort of rainbow. Because of the mist and the sun coming from the other side, there's always a rainbow. So you make a bracha at Niagara Falls. So he goes into what's the bris of the rainbow. In Parshas Noach, right, Hashem says, "Kashti nasati ba'anan v'hisolos bris," that there's some treaty. What's the treaty of the rainbow? So some mafarshim understand that the bris of the rainbow, the Akedas Yitzchak says that the bris of the rainbow is that there's a President Richard Joel story about this, that the sun is always shining somewhere. The idea of a rainbow is that the sun is over here, and it's cloudy over here, and when the two meet, that's how you get a rainbow, technically. So if that's the case, so Niagara Falls also should get a bracha, because the only reason I could see like the rainbow color is because the sun is there, and it's shining. Right? However, the Ramban writes that the bris of the rainbow is that... it had been raining for 40 days, and then the rain stopped. So Hashem is saying, you know what? The rain stopped. Here's the bris. That rain will never continue for 40 straight days like it did beforehand. You thought this winter was bad, right? Rain will never continue for 40 days like it did then. So that's the bris of the rainbow. If that's the case, so then Niagara Falls doesn't get a bracha. Rav Nachum Rabinowitz concludes that you should not make the bracha on the rainbow of Niagara Falls, but you see Niagara Falls obviously make Osam Asa Bereshis. But is that true? Is that? Because it's a... wonder of the world. It's a tremendous thing. I see the godless Habore by seeing...
None of the actual items in this list, except for the Naharas, which
we don't do. So he suggests that you can make an Osam Asa Bereshis on any natural thing that is amazing and leads to his palace. If you are really in awe of Hashem by seeing something, that should get a bracha. Now, by the way, is Niagara Falls natural? It hasn't been diverted or anything? Didn't they build like that whole hydroelectric plant that they dammed it up and they tried to harness the power?
No,
I mean, the Canadian Falls are much more impressive than the American Falls. That's obvious. But I don't know. If it's not natural, you can't make osa mas abirishis. Right? Osa mas abirishis is only something that is mas abirishis, that Hashem made when he created the world.
But the falling water is definitely natural.
Yep. So then I can make a bracha. Right? And he says that you can make a bracha, that you should make a bracha of osa mas abirishis when you see it. The basic idea, I think, of this whole sequence of brachos is, first of all, you should see beauty in the world, recognize it, and thank Hashem for it. That's really the basic idea. The beauty that inspires us to, wow, think about how awesome the Borei Olam is, who was able to create these imposing and impressive things. Okay, yeah, Dashiell.
A person were to see a live birth of a human.
Yeah, so I mean... I mean, it's a good question. Like, obviously, Chazal don't institute a bracha on everything that is amazing. Every miracle doesn't automatically get a bracha. But we're talking about natural type of phenomena, stuff that's built into the natural world. But the fact is, I don't think there's a bracha on birth. I don't know of a bracha on birth, other than the Shechiyanu one that we spoke about a few weeks ago. I don't know. It's a good question. How come certain things get brachas, other things don't? It's worth analyzing. Okay, last point.
The impression I got is that you can make these brachas from an airplane.
If you see it, clearly, yeah,
from
sure.
The ocean.
Ocean, you can make deserts, right? How else I see the full expanse of a desert, right? From an airplane. Right? You can make the bracha.
Now,
the question is, if I... I'm flying, and I made an osa mas abirishis on the Rocky Mountains, and then, like, we come to the desert. Can you make another osa mas abirishis? Probably yes. It's probably two separate brachos, even though it's the same text of the bracha, two separate things.
You really get a sense of the majesty of the mountains when you're looking
at your... In some ways, I think you get more of a sense. I don't know. I mean, the poskim will say that you can make the bracha from the airplanes. Okay, so again, please think about what we should discuss in the shiurim. I'm open to suggestions. I guess I'll have to decide in the next day or two. Thank you for coming.